Today I'm going to follow up from last week's episode where I did kind of a hot take of the Worldwide Developers Conference there with Apple and talked about their new Macs in particular. That's what I'm going to dive into a little bit deeper. My name is Luke Clayton and welcome to Church Media HQ. Welcome or welcome back. I'm glad to have you with me today. Make sure that you're subscribed, and I want to give a special emphasis, if you will, on subscribing on our YouTube channel. Coming very soon, we have some content that is going to be exclusive to the YouTube channel. So you're going to want to make sure that you are subscribed to YouTube there at youtube.com/mustincrease. That's youtube.com/mustincrease. And so, make sure that you're subscribed there. So last week I talked a little bit about the entire episode was about the WWDC, which is the Worldwide Developers Conference. Apple typically emphasizes software, so iOS, iPadOS, macOS, and they did talk about that, but they also introduced some hardware. And I wanted to revisit that a little bit and continue that thought, dive a little bit deeper into this idea of what MacBook might be right for you if you're in the market. So whenever Apple puts out new products of any kind, obviously people start to think about buying them and what they might need. And so I'm going to just walk through kind of the MacBook lineup that they have currently and just kind of explain some of the differences and try to help you understand what what might be, again, the best fit for you and some key differences, or really, as we'll see, lack thereof, that you need to understand between the different models. I will say this too, talking about subscribing to our YouTube channel, you might want to watch this episode in particular because I am going to have a little bit of visual assistance here in a moment as we dive into this. So first of all, let's start by giving a little bit of a overview, if you will, of what we have in terms of what's available from Apple as of right now, as of, you know, their announcement last week. So let's start first with the, we're kind of going to go from most affordable and we'll work our way up from there. And again, we're looking at only MacBooks and only what would be considered their newest MacBooks. And I should mention this too, we're only looking at the MacBooks now that are made, that have Apple's chip that they make. And we're not looking at Intel MacBooks. I will say this, if you upgrade to an Intel Mac anytime in the near future, I think that is a mistake because Apple, it is just a matter of time when they stop supporting those. And I think that's coming sooner than later. I wouldn't be surprised if we see an accelerated, what's their term? Well, I can't think of off the top of my head, but an accelerated time where we see those get outdated and no longer supported. And considered outdated by Apple. So all that to say, that's what we're looking at. We're looking at the M1 MacBooks, M1 and M class, I should say, MacBooks. That means Apple has made the silicon, they've made the chip, and I will say these are much better machines anyways, and they're right in the price range of typical Apple pricing. So let's start by talking about the MacBook Air M1. This is the first ever Mac that they announced that had this M1 Apple-made chip, and this came out in fall of, I believe it was 2020. Yeah, fall of 2020. And this is, I will say this about just circling back to that idea of just the Apple-made chips and processors in general. These blow away any of their Intel Macs. Now, Intel is trying to catch up. They claim that they are making some chips for PCs that are just as fast. I don't know. I really can't speak from experience of using any PC or Intel-based Mac anytime recently, but what I can tell you is I have used several Macs on the M1 or M1 line of chips, and they are truly incredible. They're so fast. They're so efficient. And so, for example, with this MacBook Air M1, you're going to be getting up to 18 hours of battery life, as well as all of this awesome speed and performance that, again, blows away anything they had on Intel. It's got that old, you know, that wedge design, if you will. If you're looking at the side of it, it's kind of wedged in terms of the when the laptop's closed. It's got that kind of maintains that design. It's got two USB-C ports and an audio port. It's got a 13.3-inch Retina display. There's no notch, as some of their newer MacBooks have now. So there's not that notch like you see on your iPhone. That's not there. That is on some of the newer Macs. And then it also supports one external display natively. I do hate this limitation of the Macs and MacBooks in general. But there are workarounds, and I'm not going to dive into all that right now. And a lot of people don't care. I do. I like, as you can see behind me, I like having my different displays. I like having multiple displays to work with when I'm in a desktop mode. But anyways, that's beside the point. To many people, that's not going to matter. The price range of the MacBook Air is anywhere from $1,000 to $2,000. You can get a little bit of a price discount if you are buying for education, so teacher, student, whatever that may be. So that's the MacBook Air M1. At this point, that is the previous generation MacBook Air. Now, the MacBook Air M2, they just announced last week. It's not yet available as of now, which is why I'm still going to take time to talk about this, because I want to give you as much information as you might need to make these decisions once they do come out. And so the MacBook Air M2, I will say the performance improvement over the previous generation is incremental. They boast that it's up to 40%, but they'll even admit in their own presentation that it's probably more like 20% in most cases, which is an improvement. It's great, but it is incremental. It's not the same jump we saw from Intel to the M1, not at all. And we didn't necessarily expect it to be. So it's an incremental improvement. It does have a new physical design. They've moved away for this newest version from that wedge design I was talking about. Now we're looking at more of a flat / square design, similar to what they have on the latest MacBook Pros, one of their latest MacBook Pros. Again, getting a little ahead of myself there, but it is very thin. In fact, it's thinner than the original iPhone, which is pretty impressive. I found a comparison of that online that's pretty cool to see. This one has this latest generation MacBook Air that's coming out next month. It has two USB-C ports, it has an audio port, and it has MagSafe. So some of you might remember on some of the older model Macs, they had the power cord that connected by magnetically. So that way, if something happened and it got, you know, somebody tripped over your cord, it would just break away. It was really saved a lot of Macs from hitting the ground and getting destroyed. And so they've brought that back in this MacBook Air M2 model. It has a 13.6-inch, so a slightly bigger display than the previous generation. They call it a liquid retina display. I'm not going to get into all the differences. It is technically a better display than the previous generation, and it does have the notch. So there's that little notch there in the top center that has the camera in it. It's, like I said, similar to your iPhone. Honestly, for me, it's not really a big deal. I didn't really notice it. I've noticed it just a handful of times. It really doesn't bother me because I have the one of the latest MacBook Pros that has that. So it's not really a big deal, but it is something worth noting. And then it still has the same limitation of supporting just one external display natively, which, again, there are workarounds to that. But that was a little bit disappointing. I thought, come on, you can at least add support for at least a second display. But nonetheless, it just supports that one external display. It also gets that same 18 hours of battery life. Now, price range, it's a little bit more. It starts at $1,200. It maxes out at $2,500. And again, you get a little bit of a discount if you are eligible for the educational discount. So let's move on to talking about the MacBook Pro M2 with Touch Bar. Now, I did not have good things to say about it last week. I don't have anything better to say about it now. Here's my thing about this. This has literally, not by, but like this is what Apple presented. it literally has a 1% performance improvement over their latest MacBook Air. And the only reason it does is because it has a fan. So the MacBook Air models, both the previous generation and now their newer one, they're both fanless. So there's no fan inside to keep it cool. It doesn't need it because it's so efficient. This MacBook Pro M2 with a touch bar adds a fan. And so therefore it does make it a little, allow it to cool it down and therefore make it a little bit faster. Again, without getting too technical, fans tend to make the machine cooler. And again, so therefore it makes it perform a little bit better. But literally it's a 1% performance difference. That's not even going to register for really the vast majority of people. It has the exact same design as the previous generations. It's for that they've really the same design that they'd used for MacBook Pros for several years previous. It's slightly thicker and heavier than the Air, than both the MacBook, latest MacBook Air and the previous generation. It has a touch bar. And here's my opinion about the touch bar. I had a MacBook that had the touch bar for a few years. I used it to increase the volume. That's about it. Increase the brightness. I mean, it basically takes that. If you're looking at a conventional keyboard, there's that function of F1, F2. There's that at the top of the keyboard. It basically replaced that with a little touchscreen bar. And again, it's cool in theory, but they never really took advantage of it. And as far as Apple did, Apple tried to, some developers tried to with their Mac apps, but really never took off. And so this does maintain that touch bar. But again, I would never be one to make a decision on purchasing a MacBook based on if it had that touch bar. In fact, I made the switch from the one with the touch bar. And honestly, I didn't even notice. It was actually kind of nice to have the buttons, the traditional buttons and keys back. So yeah, and then it also has two USB-C ports and an audio port. So get this, the MacBook Pro, which they're advertising as a Pro model, actually has technically has fewer ports than the latest MacBook Air, because the MacBook Air has the same ports as well as the MagSafe. This one does not have the MagSafe. Again, it's maintaining the exact same design as the previous generations, so therefore no MagSafe, just two USB-C ports rather, and an audio port. It has a 13.3-inch Retina display, no notch, but it is technically the lower level display. So again, now we have the same generation of MacBook, what they're advertising as a MacBook Pro and a MacBook Air, and the MacBook Air has superior screen, has a superior screen and display. Again, it's not a massive difference. Most people wouldn't notice it, but nonetheless, what they're calling a Pro model, they're not including the one of the better displays in. And so that's very interesting to note. Has the same limitations, only supports one external display natively. It does have technically an extra 2 hours of battery life, so up to 20 hours of battery total. But I'll just tell you this, yes, I have noticed that the efficiency of the battery of these newer line of Macs is so incredibly awesome. I use my MacBook in a setting where I have no power. I often go to a coffee shop to work for hours at a time, and I have had both the MacBook Air M1 and now the MacBook Pro with the M1 Max. And yes, the M1 Max battery is not quite as efficient because it's a more powerful machine in general. But either way, I've never had an issue with it running out of battery. I never have to plug it in. I'm always good for the hours that I'm there without a charger. And so I'm saying all that to say this extra 2 hours of battery that you're getting with this so-called MacBook Pro M2 with Touch Bar, it is nothing that anyone's going to notice. I highly doubt anyone would ever push it to that max and would even need that. It starts at $1,300. And it maxes out at $2,500. So here's the thing. Here's the difference. And this is where I'm going to show you my screen here. Here is, with that in mind, here is the difference between the MacBook Air, the latest MacBook Air with M2, and what they're calling this latest MacBook Pro. So let's take a look at this here. So let's look here. So we've got this is the latest MacBook Air on the left. If you're looking, or if you're watching rather, if you're not, you might want to go check it out. If not, I'll do my best to describe for you audio listeners. And then here on the right is what they're calling their latest version of the MacBook Pro with the touch bar. And so what you'll see here is the difference. You know, when you're going through to build out your machine, like in typical Apple fashion, you have these different options. Well, notice this. First of all, this system on a chip processor option is only available under the MacBook Air. It's not available on the MacBook Pro because you don't have a choice. You're just going to, by default, get the higher-end chip, which has the 8-core CPU, 8-core GPU, and 16-core neural engine. And again, this is very technical, so just bear with me. Basically, there's two levels of chips. Technically, they have a lower performance one and then a slightly higher performance one. And so what you're getting, by default, you don't have the option. You're getting the slightly higher performance chip here with the MacBook Pro. On the MacBook Air, you have the option of starting out with the chip below that. What happens when you do on the MacBook Air decide to upgrade to the slightly higher chip? Well, it increases the price by $100. And now virtually from that point forward, everything in terms of performance on this MacBook, latest MacBook Air and latest MacBook Pro are exactly the same. Same memory, so same amount of RAM. Same storage, starting at 256 gigs and working its way up to 2 terabytes. Exactly the same. No difference unless you go up here and you do choose that lower system on a chip processor. So why am I showing you this? Here's why. Because this MacBook Pro right here, I am not a fan of it at all. I think Apple should have discontinued it. I don't know why they, well, I have my theories on why they updated it. But if you are looking to buy a new machine, I would not get this MacBook Pro because, in my opinion, you are getting so much more. You're getting so much more here with the MacBook Air, other than the fact that it's not called a Pro, and you're going to miss a 1% performance increase, which, again, virtually you're not going to notice, and a 2-hour battery life improvement, which you're not going to notice. And so that's why I say go with this MacBook Air because you can I would boost to the higher chip. I'll talk later about how exactly I would build it out here. Later, but I just want to highlight the difference because, again, here, just all of the performance aside, you can literally have the exact same performance, exact same price, and over here on the MacBook Air, you're getting the better display. That's another thing. You're getting a better FaceTime camera. You're getting a better webcam. You're getting the MagSafe charging port, and it's just, again, it's just going to be a such a better machine, in my opinion. And so that is the difference there between the two. And so why did Apple keep this? Why would they keep this this MacBook hanging around, this MacBook Pro? Well, my theory is this. I think maybe partially it's for maybe a few touch bar fans out there, although I highly doubt that there's really that many. I mean, I didn't miss it. I've not met anybody that says, oh man, I love this touch bar. I'm sure there are some low level fans out there of it. So maybe that's why. But I actually think that this is more of a placeholder Mac than it is anything. So in other words, Apple came out with a new chip. They wanted to be able to offer a pro model computer, something that they're deeming pro, that they're calling a pro. They wanted to be able to offer that, but without it seeming too expensive, because as we'll see here in a little bit, the actual MacBook Pros, and this isn't a real MacBook Pro, the actual MacBook Pros do start at a much higher price range. So I think Apple was just trying to say, oh, well, look, we have a MacBook Pro that starts at $1,300 or $1,299, and I think it's just for marketing, and I think it's a placeholder because I do believe that probably at this point, it's probably going to be at least another year from now, they're going to announce something that fits this price range that maybe they don't call a Pro. Maybe they just drop the Air, drop the Pro name, just call it MacBook. I don't know, but that is actually truly in the middle between an Air and a Pro. So again, I think this is just a placeholder. If nothing else, it's really misleading, because again, they do this with their phones, and even they've done it with their iPads are the only line I can see where they're actually, the Pro actually does have some significant differences. But they've even done this with their phones, basically said, oh, it's a Pro phone. And yes, it's better. It's a little bit faster. It's a little bit, got a better camera perhaps, but by and large, it's not it's not like a big massive difference that is worth the price difference. And so this is just Apple's marketing. I'm not a fan of it. I'm not a fan of this latest MacBook Pro. In fact, I like I said, I don't wouldn't even go as far as calling it a Pro. I would call it like I said, I would just call it MacBook, because it does seem to be the middle line between the MacBook Air and the MacBook Pro. And so if you're the average computer user, either of the MacBook Airs, either the current generation or the previous generation, I think that you are going to be more than happy with either MacBook Air and for the average users. And if you are looking to go pro, like you say, hey, I'm using Photoshop a lot, I'm using video editing softwares, doing like what we do here and producing, you know, 60 minutes worth of content, video content every given week, and you want something to actually truly pro, do not get this MacBook Pro with Touch Bar. So just to be very clear, let me help you out. Let me get over here to my Apple's website. Let's see. Where are we at here? Sorry, bear with me. I actually did not plan on doing this, so I don't have this tab preloaded. But I also want to be very clear on which one you should not buy. So here we are, MacBook Pro. Do not get the 13-inch MacBook Pro. That's the best way to distinguish it. You do not want the 13-inch MacBook Pro. Instead, if you're looking for something in that price range, in that screen size, go with one of the MacBook Airs. Well, I can talk more a little bit about building it out particularly later, but do not get this one. If you want to go pro, get this one. Yes, it's a higher price range, but it is truly a pro. This is not a MacBook Pro. This is not, I don't care what it says, it's not a MacBook Pro. Have I made myself clear? Well, I hope so. All right. Well, we are going to pause right there. I think I have quite a bit more to cover. And so therefore, we are going to pick up right where we left off in the next episode. And we're going to talk about the real MacBook Pro, the real one, the one right here. We're going to talk about this one, the 14, the 16-inch, the real MacBook Pro. We're going to talk about that one more, all the different specs of it, how it works. And then we'll dive into whether you're a pro user or an average user. We will dive into a few potential ways that I would build out the MacBook if you are looking to buy a new one. And until then, make sure you are subscribed wherever you're listening to podcast. Remember, get on our YouTube channel there, because we are going to be releasing some what I guess we would say YouTube exclusive content here very soon. And so you're going to want to make sure you're subscribed at youtube.com/mustincrease. Hey, thanks so much for being with us, and I'll see you next time right here on Church Media HQ.